And welcome to the smiling faces here this morning. It's such a joy to be part of this congregation. It's been a little over 6 months already. I can't believe the time, how it has flown, but what a privilege and a joy to serve here at Little Swatara. We want to welcome you. If you could sign the attendance sheet, it'll be down towards the inside of the row in the center aisle. And if this is your first time here, we're very, very glad you came to see us. And there's just a green card that has visitor information. We would love to contact you and get to know you more. And we welcome you here today if it's your first time and are so glad you came to be with Little Swatara. We have several announcements to highlight this morning. It is the last day to order Easter flowers. So remember, the more flowers that we have up here, the more I'm going to sneeze. So I want to sneeze like crazy. So make sure you order your Easter flowers. See Pam Gerberich if you have any questions. But just $6.50 for lilies and $8 for azaleas. What a fantastic deal that is. We want to just highlight our giving from last week. The Bluebird Revival offering was $1,828. So give yourselves a round of applause. That's a very, very blessed offering to help out the Bluebird Revival. Very well received. Thank you so much. On Thursday this week, March 26th at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a meeting for the car, truck, and tractor show and flea market. If anyone's interested in bringing any ideas or volunteering to help with that, you can show up at 7 o'clock on March 26th or simply contact Paul Swiger, and he'd be glad to answer any questions. I know I'm particularly looking forward to that event, and we just may very well have the Harley-Davidson sitting out there so people can look at the really cool design on it. All right. We also have announcements about the Easter Sunrise Service. It's going to be at Trinity UCC, which is in Rarersburg. That's going to be at 6:30 a.m. Your pastor will be participating in that, so if you ever want to see what I look like at 6:30 in the morning, I encourage you to come on out or come to the cafe this Tuesday. I'll be there at 6, so you can see my lovely smiling face at 6 a.m. That's a joke. Be sure to come on out 6:30 a.m. on Easter for the sunrise service. It's going to be a blessed time. Today, we're celebrating the one great hour of sharing. Last week, you did a great job, brought in $615 to help with that noble cause, but we're going to use some brethren resources that are available on the one great hour of sharing to kind of highlight just how important that is to being fair and equal throughout the world. So thanks for what you've offered through the one great hour of sharing, and today we'll have another donation that you can give for that as well. Keep those postage stamps. Does anyone actually do that? Do you keep your postage stamps? I know I used to do that, keep postage stamps. They were used for something back in that time. But this year, if you keep your postage stamps, you can use those for the Heritage Center to make trash to treasure ornaments for their December open house. So save those postage stamps and we can help out the open house at Adula. If you haven't picked up your 2015 directory, they are out there in the narthex available for you to pick up, have relevant information in there. Something exciting to look forward to is on March 28th, there's a game night. And what we're going to encourage you to do, it's open to the entire church. Everyone is invited to come and bring games. It'd kind of be hard to have 50 people with one deck of cards. So if you want to bring some games that you enjoy playing, I'd love to get to play Pinochle. If someone brings that, you can teach me how to play Pinochle. I've always wanted to learn how to play that. So 6 to 9 p.m., March 28th, bring games, bring a snack, a drink to share, and let's just have a great time fellowshipping intergenerationally. April 14th at 9, we want to encourage ladies to come to help make crafts for the Women's Fellowship Bazaar that's held in the fall. And items needed are assorted green buttons. So bring some assorted green buttons if you have any, April 14th at 9 a.m. And we just want to highlight there is a share a meal on Saturday, April 11th, and all of those 48 tickets for the meal were sold at the disaster relief auction last September, but we're looking for people to help pay for that dinner. So if you are willing to help with those costs, we'd encourage you to contact Richard or Beatrice France or Bob or Wendy Lingle to help with that meal, and what a blessing to be able to sell all 48 tickets for that share a meal. Are there any other announcements that would like to be made this morning? Yes.
I do want to thank you for your prayers for Friday. The snow one didn't work, but I defeated that because I went up Thursday night and stayed overnight one block from the courthouse. Curtis's hearing did not occur because the DA, his particular DA, could not make it till 12 or 12:30. However, there is going to be a private hearing at the prison, which I will not be allowed to attend. A plea bargain has been made and accepted by both the public defender and the DA and Curtis. He will be moving on. For the next month, maybe 2 months, he'll still be at Dauphin County Prison. So if you're sending cards, you can still send them there. And then I'll update you when the plea bargain becomes official and where he moves to, and I'll give you the new address. But for now, he'll continue for at least a month at Dauphin County right now. Thanks. All right.
Thank you, Burl. And thank you, everyone, for sending cards and encouraging Curtis during this time. I know they're very much appreciated. Any other announcements this morning? There's one over in the back right.
I would just like to thank everyone who helped to get renewal services going for me and helping me this past week. It takes a lot of people to help, and I think the congregation would be surprised how many people do get involved. So thank you again.
Yes, a huge thank you. What a blessing it was to have Pastor Jeff, and a privilege to be able to serve here at this congregation in his legacy. It's awesome. Very cool. If you want to turn to your neighbor and just say, good morning, good looking. And turn to your other neighbor and say, God is in this place. And with that being said, I invite you to rise and join in our opening hymn, number 324, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. My life, and I pray that this would be a song that we would sing, meaning those words, take my life, and just allow Jesus to do as he pleases with that.
Thank you.
may be seated. Invite you at this time to share in our joys and concerns as a church family, those things we can be lifting up, those things we can be rejoicing over. In our first service, a granddaughter named Parker was given a cancer-free sign, so we're blessed to know that Parker is cancer-free, and she'll be going back every 5 years to be able to do more tests to make sure that's still the case. So we just rejoice with that family that Parker is indeed cancer-free. Any other joys or concerns to lift up? I know it was an incredible joy to be here, part of the spiritual renewal services with Pastor Jeff, and some of us got a little bit of a sore throat from that, but what a blessing. God is so good, and we're thankful for that time. Yes?
The joy is that Carl remains in remission. The bad part is he doesn't have enough T cells to fight any infection, so starting tomorrow, he will have an infusion of T cells monthly.
Okay, thank you. Any others this morning? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are a thankful people to be able to gather in this place in the warmth of a church building, in the company of friends and family, and gathering to bring glory to your name. Father, we do think of our brothers and sisters across the world, particularly in Nigeria right now, who are being persecuted, who are facing great trials and tribulations, and we're asking, Lord, for your peace to go and be in that land. We're praying that the persecution would cease in Jesus' name, that you would protect them, you would guide them, and you would lead them to safety, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the good news that Parker is cancer-free, and we just rejoice. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, you would continue to be with Carl as he goes for an infusion of T cells and to strengthen his immune system, Lord, to be able to keep him strong, Lord, as he is in remission. And we're so thankful for that. But we do pray that these T cells would give him a strength to be able to fight against any infections, Lord. And we think of Harold Keeney this morning and his illness that he's going through right now. And with Crohn's disease, the recovery process is a bit longer, and we're just praying for your healing touch upon Harold, and we just pray for his family, Lord, that you would give them words to encourage him during this time. And we just thank you for the news with Curtis, Lord. We know the trial didn't happen, but Lord, there's hope. There's a positive outcome that we're leaning on, and we're just depending on your strength and your encouragement to get Curtis and Ralph and Burl through this time. And we continue to lift up Esther Yenser and Carl and Faye Ballsball and Art and Barbara Reinhardt and Joyce Luckenbill, and just pray your loving support around each of them, Lord, that you would just strengthen each of them as well and just allow them to feel your special touch this day, Lord. I pray your healing over each of them, Lord, and just allow your presence to be mainly known each day. And Lord, we just come before you. We know that we make mistakes throughout the week and we sin. And we're coming before you, Lord, and just opening our hearts to you and confessing that sin during our next few moments of silent prayer. Father, thank you for that forgiveness that we are offered through the cross. Lord, we know that it's a choice that every single person in the world has to accept that gift of freedom, that gift of forgiveness. And Lord, we're just praying that you would help us to strive to make your good news known, especially as we come upon this Easter season and we consider that pain and suffering and great trial that Jesus went through for our sake. Lord, may the whole world know that good news. We're praying that you would use us to spread that. Father, we pray that you would just take us to a whole new level in our relationship with you, Lord, that you would continually just spark a fire in our lives to be holy, to be righteous, and to seek after your kingdom. Father, we are such a blessed people, and we are so thankful that we just have an opportunity to be able to learn and to be able to grow. And we're praying that you would speak to the hearts of each of us this day. We thank you for the one great hour of sharing and just pray that we would continually bless that ministry, that we would reach out and spread our offerings to those that are in desperate need across our world. And Father, just thank you again for this time to be here in this place. We know that your love is abundant and is available to each one. May we just cling to the cross, knowing that love is available and gets us through every moment of every day. Lord, thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn to number 592. Love divine, all loves excelling. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hopes and Dreams, the show that offers you the keys to the future. The format is simple. Contestants state their hopes and dreams, and I let them know what they got in life to help them reach those dreams. Then it's up to them to live the best they can. Will they make the wisest choices? Will they make the most of what they've been given? The choice is theirs. Let me introduce our four fabulous contestants, Joshua, Maria, Ben, and Katie. Thanks for joining us today. You have your printouts from your data input that you declared during your SATs. This data has been calculated and has now formulated your future. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to begin? Let's start with you, Ben. Name one of your hopes for the future. Good one, Ben. Any others of you interested in education? Well, Ben, You've got the luck of the draw, as it happens, a private education, parents who can support you through university, and it looks like you'll probably graduate at the top of your class. Congratulations, Ben. Here's your pile of books.
Oh, thank you.
Katie, not quite such good news for you, I'm afraid. You'll have to work in a burger stand to support yourself to get your degree in engineering. But that's okay. We have a very nice apron for you.
You'll have to give up the nightlife.
Maria, sorry, dear. Where you live, educating girls is not at all valued or important. So school's out, but you'll be able to help your grandmother on her acre of land. Here's your hoe. And Joshua, your country can't provide schools because they're still paying back massive debts to rich countries. Your mom has managed somehow to pay for you to go to primary school for a couple of years. But now it's your younger brothers and sisters' turn. So that's it for you. Here's your math book. So Joshua, why don't you go next? Tell us one of your dreams.
I'd like to learn a trade. I want to be a mechanic.
Good to see you're thinking about employment.
But how's he gonna do that if he's only been to primary school?
Well, fortunately, there's a project in your town that will take you as an apprentice. So you might just get your dream, Joshua. Here's a wrench. Now for the rest of you. Katie?
Don't like the sound of work. I'd rather travel for years.
But with your degree in engineering, you could work in lots of different countries, doing very constructive things.
No? Okay. Well, enjoy your travels. Here's your first expedition to Alaska.
I'd like to educate women in my community in things like healthcare, how to read, and how to stand up for themselves.
A noble aim. But if you can't read yourself, how are you going to do that? But don't worry, you'll have plenty of work to do. Just not of the paid variety.
Mama.
I think I'd love journalism. Top journalists get paid tons of money.
Well, with your education and background, of course you'll get what you want.
But you do have a choice of whether you work for People magazine or highlight issues of injustice, violence, and oppression around the world. To get you started, here's a copy of People magazine and a newspaper. Katie, you're next. Name one of your hopes.
Well, I'd like to stay really fit and healthy for a long time. I want to live till I'm 90.
Yes, a good long life is a hope for most people. But you need to cut back on your smoking if you want to live to an old age. Ben, oh dear, bad news. You'll probably get a serious illness when you're older. Looks like you're gonna need a health magazine.
Don't worry, your doctor will probably detect it early, and with the latest treatments, you'll be okay again in a couple of years.
Maria, very, very bad news for you as well. Your mom and dad were HIV positive, and so are you. In your country, they can't afford the latest medicine. I haven't got anything to give you. Joshua, well, perhaps old age is a bit ambitious. Where you live with the poor diet and the hard physical work, people don't live to be that old. You'll probably make it to your 50s. Happy birthday.
If you watch out for the landmines.
Last one, Maria. What would you most like to happen?
To be honest, right now, what I'd like most is a good meal.
Yes, where would we be without food? Well, your grandmother joined a local cooperative where she got training in how to farm, as well as a loan of equipment. Now she's self-sufficient, so you're gonna have enough to eat. We'll start with a loaf of bread. Joshua, not so lucky. An international oil company buried their waste illegally on land near where you live. So the fruit trees that people depended on aren't producing any fruit. Food is scarce. But don't worry, here's a bag of rice. Katie?
Well, she's all right, isn't she? There are 8 supermarkets within 10 minute drive of where she lives.
She'll be needing this.
And Ben?
No thanks. Don't talk about food. I'm on a diet.
Oh, okay then. How about a protein bar? So there you have it. Similar hopes and dreams from all of you, but very different starting places. It would be great to come back in 20 years to find out how you did. Oh, except Maria, you probably wouldn't be here. And now to end our show, each of you gets a chance to say a few words.
Wow, I'm glad that I wasn't born where they were, but I don't mind visiting their countries. Maybe go on a safari, take some good photos, get a nice tan. It would look great on my resume. Very adventurous. My life looks fine, although I didn't really like the lecture on smoking. I just want to have a good life, lots of money, lots of friends, lots of, well, everything, really.
How can she be so selfish? Doesn't she realize that the gas in the car she drives has come from my country, produced by the company that has polluted my land? I want to make my government to do something about it, but it would help if people like her stood by people like me.
This seems so unfair. Everything seems stacked against me, but I want a good life too. Why shouldn't I have an education and healthcare like them? Well, I'm not going to just sit back and accept it. There must be other people who think like me. We'll work together.
You're right, Maria. It's unfair. I've never thought about this before. I've got serious choices to make, haven't I?
You're right, Ben. But then, you've all got choices. Will you make the most of what you've been given, or will you lead cozy, selfish lives? Will you work to see a fairer world? Will you commit to working for a world where there is enough for all? Will you give of your resources to ensure that we all achieve a fair balance? The choice, as they say, is yours.
The choice is ours, and we can do something. We choose to do our part to achieve a fair balance in the world by giving to one great hour of sharing. What will you give to one great hour of sharing? Join us in making the world a fairer place for all of us.
Let's pray. Lord of Lords, Creator of all that has been, is, and will be, you are the God who sees us. You are the God who sustains us. How can we ever thank you for all that you have granted us? For you have granted us our very lives, created us in your divine image, and called us good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the capacity and the privilege of giving. May our gifts, which we give right back to you, transform hunger into nutritious food, illiteracy into education, thirst into clean, accessible water, disease into healing, displacement into welcome, and despair into hope. We humbly ask you to consecrate these gifts for the transformation of lives and communities so that our abundance may be for their need and their need become our abundance. To you, God, be the glory. Amen. The ushers may come forward.
Thank you. we have other children that want to come forward? If you have your box of money for the One Great Hour sharing, we'll drop it in the basket over there. Any other children? Come. While they're coming, let me ask you a question. A few weeks ago, I was here and I gave you a pretzel, and I asked you to thank God every day for something. How many of you have been thanking God? What have you been thanking God for? Come, sit down. Here you go. Can somebody tell me something you've thanked God for? Yes. Your house? Yes. You can put your box over in the basket if you have your money box for One Great Hour. What else have we been thanking God for? Yes. Your family? Yes. Something else? How many of you had breakfast today? Yes. You all look pretty sharp in what you're wearing today, clothing. How many of you have a comfortable bed to sleep in at night? Yes. Any toys in your house? Yes. Yeah, we do.
I have lots of toys.
Yes, lots of toys. Well, you know what? We're very fortunate. Yes, we're fortunate to have food and clothing, and God provides for what we need. And God also provides other things. He gives you gifts of the Spirit. He gives you things like love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness. And I just heard you sing a song that you're a bundle of potentiality. Potential. You all have abilities and talents that God has given you. God's given you a lot. Now, when God blesses you, and when you decide to share what God has given you, God often performs miracles. I brought a piece of paper today. Can you see this piece of paper? Will you help me find out how many corners are on this piece of paper? Count with me. One. It has four corners. Now, what do you think is going to happen if I give away a corner? Will I have more or less?
Less.
Well, we have a discrepancy. Some say more, some say less. Let's see what happens. We're taking away a corner, and I'll give this corner to you. Now, let's count the corners. One, two, three, four, five. I have five corners. How many did I have a minute ago?
Four.
I have more. How many corners do you have?
One.
How many corners does she have?
Three.
Three. What's five and three?
Eight.
We started with four corners, and now we have eight corners. Look how that grew. I gave away one. Well, let's see what happens if I gave away another corner. Do you think I'll have more or less?
I know.
You think I'll have more? Let's see what happens.
Six, seven.
How about if I give this corner to you? Let's count. One, two, three, four, five, six. I have more. And you have how many corners?
One, two, three.
She has three. Right. And six and three is? Again, we have more. I have more, and she has three now. Today you brought money for the One Great Hour sharing. And Pastor Matt and his helpers told us about things that will help people with the money that we're giving for great hour of sharing. But you know what? We can't just give one time a year. And a lot of people in this congregation give more than just one time a year. I got to thinking about the disaster relief auction. Some people in our congregation are farmers. And some of them give heifers, one of their heifers, to the disaster relief auction, and then somebody else buys the heifer, and the money helps other people that need things because of disasters. I don't have a heifer, so I can't give a heifer. And then I thought about the disaster relief fund, and some people out here like to bake pies and cookies and cakes and bread, and then they sell it at the disaster relief auction. Other people buy it, and there's more money for people that are in need. But you know what? I don't really like to bake, and I don't do a very good job. But those people that like to bake, they are giving according to what they have. And the farmers who give a heifer, they're giving according to what they have. Some ladies out there like to sew, and they make quilts and they make comforters. And again, those things get sold and there's more money to help others. But I don't like to sew. I don't really like to quilt. But you know, they do, and they're giving according to what they have. Now, part of my job is figuring out what God has given me and how I can share that with others. And that's the same thing for you. You have to figure out, what has God given you? What talent do you have? What ability do you have? What gift of the Spirit do you have that you can share with others? Do any of you have it already figured out? What is something that God has given you that you can share? Yes.
Toys.
Okay, yes. Anything else?
Balls.
Yes. How many of you were singing this morning? Evidently, you've got a gift for singing, and you shared it with all of us. So, I want you to remember that. Take one of these pieces of paper. And we'll look at the paper and see what it says. How many of you are already reading it? Reading. How about reading it to yourself if you are already a reader? Okay, we'll all work together and get it done. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 8:12. I don't hear you. Can we read it together? 2 Corinthians 8:12. Give according to what you have. If you give according to what you have, you'll be helping someone else, and God will increase that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the children here. Thank you for all the grown-ups here today. Thank you for all the many, many gifts you have given us. Help us to think about what you've given to each of us and how we can use our gifts, our talents, and the money you've given to help others that are in need. We thank you for all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, and bless each life here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.
So there was a farmer who called in to the church office, and he asked the secretary, could I speak to the head of the hog trough? And the secretary replied, excuse me? What did you say? And the farmer said, I want to speak to the head of the hog trough. She said, sir, if you mean the pastor, he's not available. And if he was, I'd really like you to respect him and call him minister, or at least reverend. Now you have yourself a good day. Now wait, hold on. I just sold a few sows, and I was about to give $10,000 to the building fund. And the secretary said, well, why didn't you just say so? Here comes the big pig now. Little porker. You see, money has a way of talking. Parents, we know when we flash even just a shiny penny before our kids, their eyes illumine and they get excited. And as adults, it seems the more money we have, the more stress we endure. But today we want to know that our hearts speak out of the way our money talks. Is your money saying, look at me? I've had fancy cars, a big house, designer clothes, and there's plenty more of where that money came from in the bank. Or do you live a humble life? Are you saying, my money blesses me enough to get by? And anything I have more than that, I want to bless others. God, we know, has been very good to us. And what I'd like us to learn this morning is that it's a privilege, it's a joy to share with those around us. I can't answer that question for you of what your money's saying to one another. But there's an attitude that goes along with our giving. Do we have the attitude like the guy who was buried and told his wife, make sure all my money gets buried with me? Or do we have the attitude like the guy who said, when I die, give generously to all the charitable donations that you can fathom? You see, money is one of those topics that Jesus talked about the most, so it must have extreme importance. But we need to remember that it's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Nobody enjoys talking about it, but there's a way that God intended for it to be handled. Isn't it ironic that Jesus left the riches and the glories of heaven to be born in a filthy stable? He chose to become a humble servant, being tempted by the devil himself to have all the kingdoms he could see if only he would bow down and worship him. And we remember very well in Matthew 4, Jesus replied, "Away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The takeaway this morning is that all we have, all that we'll ever own, belongs to God. He's the one, after all, who has given us the breath of life. He set us free through his Son who died on the cross. He knows every single thing about us. Yet he gives us a grace that is undeserved. Wouldn't we think the least we could do is offer our lives and our abundance to help others? It's amazing to me the free agency has been going on now for a while in the NFL and the multi-million dollar contracts these players are getting. Now, what I don't understand is they get paid the same amount whether they win or lose the game. You think it'd decrease if they lost more games than they won. And you know what reports are telling us? When a football player retires from the NFL, many of them go bankrupt because they don't know how to handle money properly. What a shame and what a lesson that we and they could learn from Paul. So here we are in our passage for the day. I'd invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be in the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 8, going through verse 15. And I really, really enjoy as we read the Word of God together. 2 Corinthians 8, 8 to 15. Let us begin. "I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little." Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing over your words. They're challenging to us, for we know that money is one of those difficult issues in our lives. But Lord, we want to bring glory to you, and we want to give to you what is due you, and we want to give with sincerity. Lord, thank you for testing us in this regards. Amen. I want you to think about those opening statements for a second. It says, I do not command you. He's simply testing their sincerity. Now, when I consider the word command, I often think of a military individual who's commanding his troops to do something. But Paul here is simply saying, I'm testing your sincerity. I want us to think a few moments back when we placed our envelope into the offering plate. Was it out of obligation? Was it because you truly wanted to give out of sincerity? Or was it something you felt you had to do? What I'm encouraging us to consider this morning, as we give, might we do so with sincerity? Because giving is such a joy. Giving is a way to abundantly show others what love is. And so we are encouraging one another this morning to give with sincerity, not out of obligation, because we know that God loves a joyful giver. It reminds me of a story of this young boy. The offering plate was about to go around, and he dug deep into his pockets, and he couldn't find even a nickel or a penny. And the offering plate got to him, and he thought quickly, and he put the offering plate on the floor, and he stood inside of the offering plate. Now, that lesson for us is that that young man, that young boy, must have understood what it meant to give all, what it meant to give of himself to the Lord. And this morning, as we look at the wealth that we've been given, we look at the abundance that we have, are we able to joyfully share that with others? Or do we sense that that doesn't belong to God, that belongs to me? After all, I am the one working those long hours through the week. Why should I bless others who don't even have a job? But if we read what the Lord is telling us this morning, we give out of our abundance. Not that we're hard-pressed, our needs are met, but we give over and above what God has blessed us with. The church that Paul's talking to are actually begging him. They're pleading with him to be part of this offering. Now, the word offering is never actually mentioned here in this scripture. The way I'd like us to think about it is offering as a lifestyle, offering as a way of living. Here's the thing. At some point in our lives, we're going to face hardship, whether it's financial, whether it's physical. Our bottom begins to fall out. Our savings begins to get depleted. We're trusting God that this message spoke to someone and that the resources available through the church would be available to help us during that short time till we're back on our feet again. Friends, that's what we call the body of Christ. That's what we call the unity of believers, to be able to meet each other's needs. And I've seen it time and time again here at Little Swatara. And it always makes my heart feel so warm knowing that you're about the kingdom work. It's refreshing. It's humility. It's being Jesus. It's the way that God intended. Giving out of our abundance. It really is that simple. By the grace of God, all of us have the power to give. And the gifts we give make the world more the way God intended it to be. A place where everyone has what they need. Together, we can achieve a fair balance on this planet we all share. Giving right back to God what God has so richly bestowed upon us. You see, when the Apostle Paul visited the early churches in Macedonia, they became incredibly excited about the ministry opportunities that were laid before them, namely to be a part of that offering that would be received for the poor and the suffering in Jerusalem, for those who were hungry, poverty-stricken, and in crisis. The needs among the people in Jerusalem due to that devastating famine were immense. Thus, Paul's church-wide offering was not only practical in leveraging funds so that they could make the most impact together, but it was also one of the first visible expressions of the early church. This offering, this ministry, was a way for Paul to model the unity of all believers and to provide a pragmatic mechanism for demonstrating their care and concern for one another, even when they didn't know one another. Our gifts reach those near and far, sometimes changing the life of someone in distress in our own congregation or community, and at other times impacting the lives of those we may never meet, but who are in desperate need of our compassion and generosity. For the churches of the Roman provinces on the Greek peninsula, like Macedonia and Corinth, many of them would never see or meet the Christians they were helping in Jerusalem. So their offering was a concrete representation of the gospel, and so is ours, that in Christ there truly is no Jew or Greek, no slave nor free, no male or female, that we are no longer separate, but one body in Christ. God has given everything to us. First, bringing us into being, breathing life into us, creating a world where there truly is enough for all, and then giving his only Son so that we might have life abundant and eternal. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the good news has been shared with us. I'd like to close with this. We are loved unconditionally. God has given us what we need. In turn, we have opportunity week after week to give back to God by giving to others. When we give, we can change the world. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would tune our hearts to yours. Lord, we know that we have been given so much in this life, and yet there are so many across this world that have little. And Father, I pray you would just speak to us, that you would give us divine provision to assist those that are in need. For Lord, we know that we truly do have all that we need to meet our immediate needs. So Father, I pray you would speak into our lives, that you would help us to give. And not just give, but give sincerely. Give out of the love that you poured into our lives. For we know, Lord, that we can't love without giving. For your Son showed us the greatest love of all when he died on the cross and he paid that price for our sins. So, Lord, help us to love through giving. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise for our final hymn, number 444, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
Thank you.
My prayer for us this week is that we would want to be a Christian, more loving, more holy, and more like Jesus. May we begin in our own hearts and take those hearts and explode them with love to share with others with Christian joy. Amen.